What's up, everyone? Adam here, and this is another solo episode. And I've actually tried to record this a few times over the last couple days, and every single time that I sat down to record this, the next door neighbor living beside me has been doing construction in his backyard, and every single time I've sat down to record this, they've turned on the jackhammer, and it's been way too loud. So I'm hoping that today they won't do that and we can get through some really exciting stuff. I'm really excited to be here and to talk about this because what I want to talk about is happiness. And I want to share my journey to understanding and cultivating deep happiness in my life. And a couple different times throughout my journey that really, really stand out. Different stories that were big inflection points to my journey to cultivating lasting, deep happiness. And I want to give you a couple practices that you can use in your life to be able to cultivate this happiness on an ongoing basis. So for most of my life, well, for most of my adult life, I thought that I needed one more thing to be happy. And, you know, a lot of times it was material things. Like I thought that I needed the car. I thought I needed the car to be happy. So I, worked really hard and eventually I got the car that I thought I needed. And it was cool for like a couple weeks, couple months, and then it wore off and I was kind of back down to my original happiness set point of where I was at before I got the car. So I figured the car wasn't it. And I figured that it must be the relationship. You know, I thought that I needed to be in the perfect relationship with the perfect partner and then I would finally be happy. And sure enough, I found myself in a relationship and it was cool and it was exciting for, I don't know, the first couple months, like kind of, I guess what most people would consider the honeymoon phase. You know, it was exciting, but eventually that excitement wore off. And again, I was back to my original happiness set point of where I was at before the relationship. So then I thought it was money. I thought that I needed to make more money and then I would be happy. So I began to set financial goals. And every single time I reached one of these financial goals, it left me feeling very hollow and empty inside. And I realized that that wasn't it. You know, that wasn't it. That wasn't the one thing that was going to make me happy. And so I thought it was what I heard many people saying and in many of the books that I read is, you know, you need to be doing something in your life that is exciting and makes you happy. You need to be working on your passion. And so I began to hire people in my business to do the tasks and the jobs that I didn't want to do in the business so that I could free up more of my time to focus on things that excited me. And so I hired several people and they took care of some of the mundane tasks and I began to work on stuff in the business that was exciting for me. And that was great. That was really great for a while. But eventually, again, I dropped back down to my original happiness set point. So I figured that it must be that I needed a hobby. I needed a hobby to fill my spare time, my off time, whenever I wasn't working on my business. I needed a hobby that really, really excited me. And that's actually when I took up photography and I started to learn photography. And it was really exciting at first. And it was really awesome, especially when I was traveling. But what I soon realized after a little while of doing that, you know, I was back down to that original happiness set point that wasn't it. It didn't do it. And so then I thought that I, it was in a destination that I needed to travel somewhere, that, you know, some of these really, really awesome places throughout the world that were really, really popular, and that if I traveled there, then I would be happy. So I traveled to all of these places, and I realized that, you know, within the first couple of days of being there, it was new and it was exciting and it was stimulating. But eventually, once that newness and that excitement wore off, I was again back down to my original happiness set point. So that wasn't it. So then I figured that, well, if it's not in traveling there, it must be in living there. Well, what if I move there and spend an extended period of time there? So I did that, and I kind of moved all of these different places that I thought would be really awesome. And again, it was the same thing. You know, it was very new and very exciting for the first little bit. And then once that began to wear off, I was back to my original happiness set point. So that wasn't it. So I figured that it must be my living situation. It must be my living situation that if I had the perfect house, then I would finally be happy. So I found myself living in my ideal living arrangement, which is I was living alone in a beautiful apartment with all, it was all windows and a lot of beautiful natural light. It was all new and clean, and all in the neighborhood or surrounding me, I was actually living in LA, and all in the neighborhood surrounding me was all of these beautiful, healthy restaurants serving healthy food. And I thought that was it. So, you know, I moved there, and I was there for only a couple months before I realized that, believe it or not, that wasn't it. And I dropped back down to my original happiness set point. And I got really, really, really smart. Then I got really smart, and I realized was all of these things were bringing me moments of excitement and moments of what I thought were happiness. And if I could just lock those peaks of excitement or those peaks of happiness in, if I could lock them in, then I could lock in that new happiness set point. And I thought that the key to doing this was to increase the frequency and the duration of these moments of happiness or these moments of excitement. So if I could have these moments more often, or if I could have these moments for longer periods of time, then I could lock in that happiness set point. I could lock in those peaks. And I thought that the key to doing this was to make more money. So that I thought that if I had more money, then I could do more things or get more things that would allow me to increase the frequency and the duration of these exciting, happy moments in my life. And that would raise my happiness set point. So I began to work really hard in my business and try and scale my business up to make more money. And as I was doing that, I was reaching these financial goals and making more money. And again, it was like this loop that I was in of going back to thinking that I need that one thing, that one thing, that one thing. And I was making the money to do all of those things. So I was doing them. And very quickly, I was realizing that, you know, that wasn't it. And it wasn't actually raising my happiness set point. And throughout that time, I took a trip to Bali. And on this particular trip to Bali, I was traveling with my partner at the time. And we were in Ubud, which is kind of like in the middle of Bali, which is like surrounded by jungle, thick, beautiful jungle, and all of these beautiful rice terraces. And we were staying at this unbelievably beautiful resort, like a 5-star beautiful, beautiful resort. And we had our own little villa kind of secluded in the jungle with our own private infinity pool up on the hill overlooking all of the jungle with a river streaming below, and it was unbelievably beautiful. And every single morning they would bring this huge tray of food for breakfast. It's like a 10-course breakfast, like everything that you could possibly think of. I don't even know how, where they got all these things, like pastries and fruit and eggs and all of these things. And they'd bring it on this huge tray, and the tray would float. So they would take it and they would put it in the pool. So you would wake up in the morning and walk out onto the deck and walk into your pool, and there'd be this huge tray of breakfast waiting for you, smoothies and everything. And it was actually unbelievable. And, you know, for the first couple mornings, it was like really, really cool and enjoyable and awesome, great to take photos. But I think on the third morning there, I woke up and I just didn't really want to get out of bed. Like, there wasn't anything pulling me or drawing me to get out of bed. And I just laid there for a bit and I was pretty unhappy. And, you know, it was kind of deflating for me, because I thought that I had all of the external circumstances in my life figured out and perfected. You know, here I was in Bali, beautiful weather. I didn't have a worry in the world. You know, my business was taken care of, people back in the office taking care of things. I didn't have to worry about money. I didn't have to worry about anything, really. I had a massive breakfast floating in the pool waiting for me. I didn't have to do anything that day. Like, I could just go and explore waterfalls and rice terraces and do whatever I wanted. Yet here I was laying in bed, super unhappy. And it was... It was like an inflection point in my life, really, where laying there, you know, with this pit in my stomach, looking out the windows out into the beautiful jungle, but none of it was making me happy. And laying there, I began to think that I was broken. I began to think that I just wasn't meant to be happy in this lifetime. Like, there was something wrong with me where I wasn't able to truly become happy. You know, I thought that, I began to think laying there in bed that I had, you know, let's say, like, childhood issues that were preventing me from being happy, or that I needed to do more personal development to become happy, or that I was like a pessimist, and, you know, I had a pessimistic view of the world, a negative view of the world, and that's what was making me unhappy. And I thought that I had too many desires, like I was too ambitious, too goal-oriented, and that's what was distracting me from the happiness. I thought that I was not patient enough, like I was expecting everything to come to me right away, yet, you know, I didn't have the patience to let life unfold for me, and I was trying to force things. And then ultimately, I just thought that this is what I was. You know, I was broken and I was unable to be happy. And I began to almost justify that by saying that, oh, yeah, but most people are unhappy. That's just how life goes. You know, life is, you know, supposed to be hard, and most people are unhappy. The majority of people are just unhappy, and that's just normal. So I'm just going with the status quo right now. And I finished that trip and my partner left and went back home. And a few months later, I was traveling in Cambodia for my first time ever. And I was alone. I was solo. And I wanted to go to Angkor Wat, which is the ancient temple complex. And so I traveled to Siem Reap, and I planned to be there for, I think, like a full week, because I really wanted to take my time, because Angkor Wat is massive. And so, staying in this little town of Siem Reap, I rented a motorbike, and I would go out every morning, early in the morning before sunrise, to Angkor Wat to kind of beat the crowds. And I would walk around and explore things and take photos, and it was awesome. And I did that for, I think, like 3 or 4 days straight. And then on my fifth day there, I woke up and I had gotten my fill of Angkor Wat. So I hopped on my motorbike and I just decided to just drive, just go for an adventure and just explore and just drive. And I pulled out my phone and I was looking at the Google Maps, and there was a lake kind of far off in the distance. And so I took one of the main roads out of the main town there and I just started driving. And I began to drive, and there was really, as soon as you get outside of the main town there, there's not much happening. So it was just kind of like these dirt roads, gravel roads, sometimes paved roads, but I'd just be winding through like farmland on either side. And it was really, really cool just seeing the farmers with their like cows and stuff, and like pulling plows through the fields. And it was really, really cool to explore like rural Cambodia away from kind of the tourist destination. And I eventually got to the lake, and when I pulled up to the lake, I noticed all of these little huts built out in the middle of this massive lake. And there was one dirt road that kind of went down right down the middle of the lake, and all of these little huts were built on either side of it. So I took my motorbike and I went really slow, and I went down this really uneven dirt road. And as I was going down through the lake on either side of me, all of these little huts were built on stilts. And they were very homemade, very, very homemade, like bamboo stilts. And these little huts were built on top of it, like 15, 20 feet above the water. And I just drove down there really slow, and there was all of these people out and playing on the dirt. The kids were all playing outside on that one little dirt road, and people were sitting on their little balconies and waving at me and smiling at me. And it was really, really cool to see. And I spent probably like 2 hours there just driving around and played a little kickball with the kids and took some photos. And when I turned around and finally decided to head home, I was just turning off of where the lake ended and the dirt road ended. And I noticed a little path to the left that kind of followed along the lake. And instead of going out onto the road, I decided to take that path and took the motorbike, or my little motorbike, and I was going along this path. And it was really, really beautiful. There was kind of nature on my right and this little lake on my left. And I eventually pulled up to two little kids playing next to the lake. And I pulled over on my bike, and they were waving at me and smiling at me, and they ran over and they were like playing with my camera and taking photos, and they're really, really amazed at how you could see photos of yourself on the camera screen. And so I was sitting there on my motorbike and they were kind of playing with my camera, and I looked to my right, and there was this little homemade hut built into a little pocket of trees, probably like 30 feet away. And I could see smoke coming out of the top of the little chimney of the hut. And I looked inside and I could hardly make it out, but there was a person in there, and they were waving at me and waving at me. And the kids eventually waved at me to come visit them in their little hut. And, you know, nobody spoke English, so it was difficult to communicate, but I turned off my motorbike and I got off and I followed the kids into their little hut. And as I got closer, I could see just how homemade it was. You know, dirt floors and laundry hanging out on the trees outside. And the walls of this hut were kind of like thatched leaves, like woven together leaves, with a bamboo frame, and a roof again of like thatched leaves. And I looked inside as I got closer, and I could see their mother, who was sitting on the ground with a fire in front of her. And she was waving at me and smiling at me and inviting me in. And so I stepped inside the little hut and I sat down on the dirt floor. And, you know, again, nobody spoke English, so it was just like smiling and kind of waving your hands. And She, you know, pointed at the fish and invited me to have some of these little, they're like little tiny fish that she was kind of like pulling the bones and the skin off and then placing them on the fire. And so we sat there for probably like an hour, just smiling and eating these tiny little fish, and her kids were running around and playing games and playing with the camera. And in that moment, it was like my entire paradigm of happiness broke. Because I was sitting here with these beautiful people from Cambodia who really didn't have anything. Like they truly didn't have anything. And they were so happy. So unbelievably happy. It was the kind of happiness where just being in their presence like penetrated into my being, and I could truly feel their happiness. And it shattered my entire ideology of what happiness was. And I remember sitting there and just like almost confused as to how are these people so happy? And that's when I really realized was that true happiness is independent of your external circumstances. True happiness is independent of your external circumstances. And this concept of unconditional happiness, of cultivating and being happy regardless of the circumstances in our life. It's, you know, being happy with what we have, even if we have absolutely nothing. And being happy through, if we have a pain in our back or a pain in our foot or our knee hurts, or, you know, bills are due at the end of the month, or we got to pay our mortgage, or we're going through an argument with our partner, or we're having a tough time at work or at school, or we have a test tomorrow or an exam, or all of these things happening outside of us. It's being able to be happy through all of that. That to me is unconditional happiness. And that is exactly what I experienced sitting on the dirt floor in Cambodia with this beautiful family eating fish. And I started to really begin to understand happiness better from that point forward, of happiness being making your desires fit your reality, and happiness not being making your reality fit your desires. And once this started to sink into my being, I started to really, really stop trying to manipulate and change my reality or my external circumstances to try and achieve happiness. And that's when I really woke up to just how big this illusion is. This grand illusion that a lot of us are conditioned into believing of, you know, having to work for happiness or achieve happiness or get somewhere or get something or be something to finally be happy. You know, kind of conditioned into thinking that once we, you know, get a degree in school, or once we finally buy a house, or once we start a family, or once we retire, or all of these things that we're kind of led to believe will finally make us happy. And once I woke up to that, it was this concept of, you know, happiness is right here. Happiness is right here, and you don't have to do anything to be happy. You don't have to be anything to be happy. You don't have to have anything to be happy. Happiness is right here. And the secret key, I would say, is being able to be present and in the moment to experience what is right here. You know, it's being able to be present and in the moment to smell the flowers in front of you, or smell the pile of dog poo in front of you, you know, and being happy either way. It's just being able to experience life, being able to experience what is, instead of trying to manipulate and alter reality to then believe that will make us happy. It's understanding that happiness is not something that you acquire. It's truly your ability and your capacity to surrender to this very moment and to be happy in this very moment, regardless of external circumstances. And for me, the concept of being present is the ability to quiet the voice in our heads. Because for me, it was the voice in my head that was telling me that I needed that one more thing to be happy. You know, it was the voice in my head telling me that I needed the car, telling me that I needed the house, telling me that I needed the money, telling me that I needed the partner, telling me that I needed all of these things. It was the voice in my head that was telling me all of these things that was preventing me from being in the moment, from being present, from enjoying what is. And a time in my life that really, really, really stands out and exemplifies this concept of happiness not being dependent upon our external circumstances is the time that I was in Peru. And I was in the jungle in Peru. You know, I landed in Peru and flew to Iquitos, Peru. And we literally had to take boats down the Amazon River to the place that this retreat was being hosted at, was being held at, which was deep in the Amazon jungle. And throughout my time there, we were on a very strict diet of very, very simple food, of, you know, plain rice, plain plantains, plain fish, plain potatoes, plain oatmeal for breakfast, and plain water, no salt, no spices, no sugar. Very, very simple, very, very plain. And I was staying in a tambo, which is, again, kind of like a homemade hut in the middle of the jungle. And three of the walls of my tambo were just screened in. So sitting on the ground in my tambo, I could look out at just the jungle and hear the jungle. And for probably the first week that I was there, it was really difficult. It was really, really difficult because I was quite literally having withdrawal symptoms of all of the addictions to modern day luxuries, like air conditioning and tasty food and salt and caffeine and social media and internet and my laptop and my phone. You know, going through withdrawals of not having any of these things. And once I kind of started to get past some of those, I started to experience profound moments of deep happiness. Just sitting on the ground in my tambo, looking out at the jungle, not doing anything, not having anything. And it was experiencing these deep and profound moments of happiness through being hungry and having probably, you know, times of a slight headache from the caffeine withdrawals and being sweaty. You know, it's hot in the Amazon jungle, and experiencing these moments of profound happiness through all of that by doing nothing and having nothing, sitting on the ground. And you know, for me, that fully exemplifies the concept of happiness is not dependent upon our external circumstances. And it's not something that we can get or go to or have. It's something that we experience. And to experience it, again, it's being able to ground yourself down in the present moment and to quiet that voice in your head that is trying to ruminate on the past or trying to worry about the future. And I want to share one of the practices that I've taken on to be able to do this, to be able to get to this place in my life where I am today, where I'm the happiest that I've ever been in my entire life since I could walk or talk. I've never been, I can't think of a time where I've been happier than where I am today in terms of just how I'm experiencing life around me. And it's not fleeting, you know, it's not these fleeting moments of excitement. You know, in the past, I was really confusing happiness for excitement. And I was constantly trying to seek out new experiences and new places and new things to get these hits of excitement. It was like an addiction to excitement. You know, today it's not that. It's this very smooth and steady baseline foundation of happiness. That's not like an up and down roller coaster. And I want to share the practice that really I've taken on to get to this place in my life, and that is meditation. Meditation. And, you know, to be completely honest with you, when I first started meditating, I gave up on it and I quit. I quit because I didn't think that I was doing it right, and I didn't think that I was good at it, and I got really frustrated. And I gave up. And it wasn't until probably like a year later that I came back to it. And I came back to it through a time in my life where I was experiencing a lot of pain and discomfort. And, you know, through the meditation, I was able to begin to become more present by silencing and quieting this voice in my head. And, you know, the simplified explanation of meditation is just sitting down and being able to focus your attention. So sitting down and just focusing your attention on one thing. A lot of people like to focus it on their breath, and focusing your attention on your breath and allowing the voice in your head to go crazy and get really loud and try and pull you off, pull your attention onto other things, and just continuously bringing your attention back to your breath. It's like exercising your attention muscle. And by doing that, you know, I began to experience life much differently, because I was able to create separation between me and the voice in my head. And by doing that, I was able to begin to experience life more present and more in the moment. And as soon as I started to get a taste of that, it was such a profound difference from where I was experiencing life in the past that, you know, it truly, like, well, it changed my life is what it did. And it's a practice, you know, my meditation practice is something that I go to every day and will go to for the rest of my life. So I invite you to consider trying that on, to try on a very simple meditation practice to be able to get more present, to be able to get back to the present moment, so that throughout your day you can be more present, so that you can be able to enjoy and appreciate and be happy with what is happening in life. And another practice that has really helped me is to create and partake in a gratitude practice. So a lot of people have gratitude journals, and, you know, I use my journal to make a list every morning of things that I'm grateful for, but I also just do it throughout my day, just in my head. And what this allows you to do is to focus your attention on the things that you obviously are grateful for, but it's almost tricking that voice in your head, which is trying to pull your attention onto the imperfections, onto your imperfections, onto all of the things that are screwed up in the world, all the things that are screwed up with you. You know, that's where the voice in our head tries to pull our attention. But by almost, by tricking that voice in our head and by pulling our attention back to what we are grateful for, we're able to essentially begin to quiet and pull our attention off of that voice in our head. Again, allowing us to be more present and more in the present moment. So these are two practices that have really, really helped me, and I invite you to try them on to be able to get back to a place of really experiencing happiness independent of external circumstances, and being able to experience unconditional happiness no matter what is happening outside of you in your life. Because to me, and this is just my opinion, that is true deep happiness. So I hope this helps you. I hope these practices help you. And I hope that by sharing my story, you can potentially see how I came to this understanding, and potentially you might have similarities in your life. So again, thank you so much for listening. I hope this helps you. I love you, and have an awesome day. Bye, guys.